You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As the evil vampire Victoria in the Twilight saga films, our special guest is all about sucking blood and taking revenge. But in real life, actress Rachelle Lefevre should be wearing a halo for her devotion and compassion she gives to both people and pets in need. Please give pause and applause to film and television star Rachelle Lefevre. Hey, welcome, Rachelle.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, and thank you for your beautiful and certainly, I think, undeserved introduction.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, you're starring in a new role that's sure to get tails a-wagging. You're the new spokesperson for the Best Friends Animal Society with their puppies thing, and we're going to be learning more about this and about you, Rachelle, right after we take this commercial break. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Spills, pet messes, and dirt are unavoidable, but the stains and odors they cause are not. Spot Shot Instant Carpet Stain and Odor Eliminator is non-toxic, environmentally friendly, and biodegradable formula. Safely and permanently eliminates the toughest carpet spills and stains, even pet messes. Approved by the Carpet and Rug Institute, Spot Shot neutralizes odors with powerful dual odor eliminators and utilizes an anti-resoiling agent to protect carpets from future stains. Spot Shot products can be found at Walmart, Petco, Lowe's, and your local grocery retailer. For more information, visit spotshot.com. Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Betty White, and I'm inviting you to tune in to the O-Behave show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is actress and animal supporter Rachelle Lefevre. I know you know her. Her multi-talents are displayed in a wide range of movies and television shows. Some of you are big fans from her Twilight role, but hey, you know what? She wowed me a few years back when she had a regular recurring role on Boston Legal, and I did catch her on the canceled too soon Swingtown show. So now Rachelle is unleashing her talents to help dogs and cats from shelters and help them land great homes. I'm really delighted that you're on our show, Rachelle.
Thank you very much. I am too. I think the more that we can get the message out, the better.
Well, let's get right to it. You know, you have many roles in your life, but there's a new one that I think is kind of a top dog status. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. A few months ago, in February, actually, back in February, my boyfriend Jamie and I adopted an amazing little puppy named Honey. And we got her at, we actually got her at a pet store that runs adoptions. It's a rescue center. They don't actually get their dogs from puppy mills. They go to shelters and they rescue the small dogs who they think are the kinds of dogs that people would normally buy in pet stores. And they get those dogs from shelters that were given up for whatever reason or brought in as strays, and they take them to their store and they run adoptions through there. And it was right next to my house, and so Jamie and I popped in there one Friday, and we've been thinking about getting a dog for a long time. And we'd met a few dogs in our time, but you know, we were both actors, and we didn't know if our lifestyle was right for it, and we were slightly hesitant, and it's such a big commitment, and, you know, we just sort of were unsure, and all of that absolutely disappeared when they put Honey in our arms. They actually picked her for us.
Really?
We walked in there, and we were looking at a couple other dogs who were, you know, just at the front of the store, and the owner kind of, it was really sort of a funny kind of cosmic moment. The owner looked us up and down and went, huh, and then turned to his associate and said, show them Butternut, which was a name they had given her. She'd have
oh,
that
I'm
name
so glad you call her Honey now. Butternut.
Yeah, and you know, it was actually appropriate for her. Like, it was a very, she's adorable, and she has a little sort of discolored, kind of yellow, caramel-colored streak down her back, which is why we ended up naming her Honey, because it's sort of a golden-y kind of color. But Butternut worked, too, but she'd only had that name for a couple days, and we weren't attached to it, so we changed it. But they said, show them Butternut, and she sort of reached in the back behind a couple other dogs and pulled out this little puppy, and I can't explain it. She kind of looked at us, mm-hmm. and we were all just like, all right, so we're going home, yeah? it was the most amazing thing. And then we watched her. They said, you know, you have to watch her walk. So we watched her walk, and she has, you know, some dogs have these little sort of, they all had the most unique walks. And some of them walk lower to the ground. Some of them walk a little up in the air. And she has this little hip swagger, this little bum shake that was just like, I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to follow her around the house and watch her walk. So we signed all the papers and right there and answered all the questions and paid our adoption fee. And we took her home and we've had her ever since.
Oh my gosh. I know. She had you at woof, didn't she? She had you at woof from the start.
She really did. Actually, you know what's funny about that is she's so quiet. She doesn't bark at all. She's like, we joke, we call her the Zen Master Puppy. She's so unbelievably quiet. But you know, she changed our lives so immediately, so thoroughly. That I knew, I mean, I'd always been an animal lover. I'd always loved to play with other people's dogs. And I actually really like snakes. I like to go to the zoo. And I have a thing for, you know, animals in general. But I never felt compelled to be, you know, it took me a long time to become an actual, you know, dog owner. Mm-hmm. I had cats at home growing up and we had a family dog who I didn't live with for very long until I moved out. But I never was compelled to be sort of, you know, an activist or anything like that. And I still don't consider myself really like an activist. I think what happened to me was I just experienced something that was so beautiful and amazing and wonderful and joyful and profound that I suddenly felt the need to sort of spread the gospel. I suddenly was like, everybody needs to have this experience. You know, everyone needs to rescue a dog. You need to adopt. And then, I know I'm going on and on, I get so like worked up about it. And when best friends approached me to work with them, I knew about the organization already, but what I didn't know about was the really dark side of the puppy industry. I knew that there were, you know, puppy stores that sold dogs, who got their dogs from, you know, breeders, and that was all I really knew, was there were people who raised puppies and they sold them to stores. I didn't actually know about the puppy mill, which is where most pet stores get dogs from. And these are places where they're just profiteering rackets is all they really are. They're people who run a business. If you've ever seen anything on the news where you see, like, there's a lot of rage in the food industry right now, for example, about how we treat chickens, you know, how they just live in wire cages piled on top of each other, and they go to the bathroom where they live, and they're just thrown their food. Well, so imagine now that those are puppies instead of chickens, because that's how they live. Legally, they only have to have 6 inches of wire cage, 6 inches of space on either side of the dog.
Isn't that weird? And, isn't that just, I can't believe in this time they still get away with things like that.
I know. And, you know, the thing that's so amazing to me is that what I find most is that a lot of it actually has to do with awareness. People just don't know. Like, I think about how many people I know who now, without thinking about it, without a doubt, when they go to the store to buy, let's say they go to the store to buy a dozen eggs, or they go to buy a liter of milk, that they know the difference now between the free-range eggs, where the chickens get to roam, and the regular ones, and they're willing to pay the extra dollar, you know, to buy the free-range, because the chicken had a better life, and they're willing to pay a little more for the milk that says hormone and antibiotic free, so that they know that the cow didn't live with horrible injections its whole life. And these are things people do now. They learn about it, and they kind of do it without thinking. And these people are still, you know, these are the same people who are still, I think, just unaware. And they go into a pet store thinking they're doing a wonderful thing. And they are, because taking an animal into your life is a wonderful thing. But they don't know. They think, I'm going to go and I'm going to take care of an animal. They go into a pet store and they fall in love with a puppy. And they go to the cash and they pay for it and they take it home. And they have no idea that what they've done is just created a direct link between another demand for another puppy who now has to live this horrible existence for the first couple of months of its life, or however long until there's a demand and they send it to the next store. They're generally taken from their mothers too soon, and they don't know that they've just actually condemned another puppy to that fate by creating a demand.
That's very well put, Rochelle. And I think with your alliance with the Best Friends Animal Society, I know Michael Mountain, he's a great person. I've seen this organization just blossom through the last, you know, 7-8 years. And let's tell a little bit about, you've got a good message, a good motto when it comes to puppies. I saw the PSA that you had with the little puppy, Johnny.
Yes.
And everybody can go to network.bestfriends.org. And they can take a look at it. But you're the actress, not me. So let's talk about that PSA that you did. I guess there's a couple that are going to be coming out soon.
Well, the PSA is just a way with 30 seconds or 60 seconds to really show how simple the message is. It has a very simple slogan. The campaign itself is called the Puppies Aren't Products Campaign. Okay. And the slogan that I say at the end, that I implore people with at the end, is adopt, don't shop.
Perfect.
And I think that the PSAs are, you know, they really are a beautifully clear way to get the message across, because in the radio spot, it's just me, you know, very simply presenting the facts. And in the television spots, you can actually see footage from some of these puppy mills. And so you have an idea of what their life is like. And I think the visual image is very important. And some of the statistics that we get in there are things that, again, people are just unaware. And I do have, you know, I have a lot of faith in humanity. I do believe that with the right awareness, people make better informed choices. And so the idea is to tell them things in the PSA, like approximately 4,000 animals are killed or euthanized every day in American shelters.
Wow.
So 4,000 dogs a day. And there's something like, I think it was 3.5 to 4 million animals a year are euthanized in America's shelters. And this is all while puppy mills are out there overbreeding their dogs and continuing to just breed these dogs and ship them off to pet stores. And one of the things that I think is a common misconception that is really cleared up, I think, by the visual image in the PSA on TV of Johnny, who was adopted immediately after that, is I wanted to take, it was so painful not to take him home. And they assured me that they actually had, he was actually scheduled to go on TV 2 days afterwards, as an adopt-a-dog here in LA, on KTLA every Friday. They run adoptions and he was scooped up 2 days later. So I was assured that would happen. So I didn't take him home. But one of the things that's so amazing when you see Johnny and I in the PSA is that he's an amazing dog. He's loving, he's sweet, he's healthy. Now, and there's a misconception that when you go to rescue a dog, oh, I'm going to get a dog from a shelter, it's going to be sick. It's going to bite. it's going to be impossible to, you know, to train. It's going to eat my shoes and pee everywhere and do. And the truth is that there are dogs at shelters and at adoption centers who are abused, who need advanced dog owners who can deal with the training and who can help them see them through. There are sick dogs like my dog Honey who need someone who is financially able to make the commitment to regular doctor's visits and medication. Those dogs are there, but mostly these are dogs who they get lost from their families, and so they end up strays and they end up in a shelter, or they were a Christmas gift and the family, guess what, doesn't realize it was going to be such a big commitment, and they drop it off at the shelter. Or they were a product of a dog who wasn't spayed or neutered, and a family had a dog that they loved and took care of, and then, lo and behold, their dog suddenly was pregnant and gave birth to, you know, 4 or 6 puppies, and they don't have the means, and none of their friends would take them. What do? They put them in a box. They drop them off at the local shelter. There are so many dogs that are just homeless. People move, you know, in the economy. I think it's something like at the beginning of the recession, I'm not sure what the number is now, but at the beginning of the recession and all the home foreclosures, there were 26,000 animals a day, 26,000 animals a day being brought in to shelters because people were being displaced because they were losing their homes and they were homeless. They couldn't take care of the animal, or they had to downsize to an apartment that didn't take pets. There was a massive crisis of animal homelessness that accompanied the recession. And so it's so possible to walk in and find an amazingly beautiful, sweet dog who, very simply put, just needs a new home.
You know what, Rochelle, you're absolutely right. I have a dog, Chipper, who's 7. I got her when she was 2. She's a golden retriever husky mix. She's a 3-time shelter reject. She's now a therapy dog, and with Fido Friendly Magazine, she and I have been on houseboats in Northern California, we've been on ski trips. She even peed in Central Park in New York, and we live in California. And she is my furry Vanna White. And I don't know what to tell you, but I am so lucky I have her. Yes, we do training. I have another little dog. I call her my $500 free dog from the streets named Cleo, a little 12-pounder. And together, I feel doubly blessed.
Absolutely. And, you know, that feeling that you have that I totally relate to because I have it with Honey is just something, you know, that you want other people to have. I sometimes go a different route with, you know, there's so many reasons to rescue an animal instead of shop, so many reasons to adopt, not shop. And one of them is just so selfish. One of them is that you absolutely feel like a superhero. Like you get to feel like you know, there was this dog who didn't have a home and you got to swoop in and scoop him or her up, and take them home. And make no mistake, I know the way that Honey looks at me and my friends who have, you know, rescued animals. Dogs know when someone said to me, dogs know when they found their forever home.
You got it.
And it's true. It's so true. They know. And you can see those dogs when they look at their owners and they look at them like, you came along, buddy. Like, thank God for you. You know? And so to have that relationship with something, it's so selfish, but like, I feel so good when Honey looks at me like, thanks for coming to get me.
You know? Oh my God, you rock her world. We're speaking with Rochelle Lefebvre, and we're going to get back to some of the great things that she's doing for people and pets right after we pay for this show by taking a commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's fine.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Rachel Ray, and you're listening to O Behave with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We are having a great conversation with Rochelle Lefebvre. You know her in many roles, Twilight, TV, movies. You've got a couple ones coming up with Paul Giamatti and Kevin Spacey we'll try to talk about. And we have been talking about your role as the new spokesperson for the Puppies Aren't Products campaign for the Best Friends Animal Society. But you're a big fan of tweeting. And I want to ask you some of the things that you do for folks that have breast cancer. And I want people to know how we can help that in the world of Twitter. You're a big tweeter. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, well, when Twilight came along, I found that someone in the cast started Twittering and they ended up with a lot of followers. And Peter Facinelli actually was the starting inspiration for me because he raised, I think it was $10,000. He did an event. He did a really funny sort of joke contest that with a friend of his that who got the most followers. And I think it was the person who had the least amount of followers between the two of them by a certain time had to run down Hollywood Boulevard in a thong. and so Peter just like implored all of his fans. You know, I know that, and it's funny because I would have gone the other way because I would have loved to have seen Peter go down Hollywood Boulevard in a song. But he won, and they ended up, they got the event sponsored. I think his friend ended up doing it, and they got the event sponsored, and they got a $10,000 donation. And I apologize to Peter that at the moment, it was a while ago, and at the moment, the charity he gave to escaped me.
That's okay. That's okay. You're human.
I'm sure it's on his Twitter. And so when I found out that Peter was doing this contest, I just really fired up, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I have followers, and I can do something. And I had just lost someone really close to me to breast cancer, and I just had this idea that I thought I was going to give money
anyway, and have been a donator for quite a long time to Susan G. Komen Foundation.
It occurred to me that I really feel like Twittering is more than just text messaging on steroids. I actually feel like it's a community. And thanks to, you know, groups that Twitter and the retweeting that people do, there's really like a whole community that happens. And I thought that could really be an inspiration for something. And so I created a webpage through Susan G. Komen where people could sign the guest book and donate money through there. And they Twitter as well, as does Best Friends Society. By the way, you can follow Best Friends at BFAS. They're just Twitter at BFAS. And Susan G. Komen, if you punch in or Komen for the Cure, you can get your local. The one in Los Angeles that I follow is at Komen LA County. But like I said, if you search, you can find your local. So I just decided that, you know, I would ask people to participate in this community if they wanted to and to donate money. And, of course, I wanted to step up and give something back, not just ask people for things. So the deal that I made with my fans was, or rather followers, as Twitter calls them, maybe fans, a little self-serving is a word.
We're all your fans, Rochelle. That's okay.
Thank you. But I said for every 10,000 followers that I would donate $100 up to the first 100,000 followers, at which point I gave $1,000. So through this program, I donated $2,000, and that was my commitment to getting it started and creating a motivation for people to follow Rochelle Lefebvre's Twitter Charity Challenge. And I just, you know, again, it was just sort of that faith in people thing where I knew that, you know, sometimes people just need a little push, a little impetus for something. And once I encouraged people, of course, it took on a life of its own. And I believe that there are people now who are still, you know, donating and continuing. And I, of course, continue to donate privately to the best of my ability to the organizations that I support.
You're an ambassador for the Cure for
yes,
the Susan
and then they
Komen
named
Foundation.
Me an ambassador for the Cure, which was actually very, very touching and was a lovely way for me to feel like I'd honored the memory of the person that I'd lost.
Oh, that's very great, Rochelle. And I know you're from Montreal and my French is terrible, but très magnifique. Mon ami.
Magnifique, yeah. There you go. Exactly.
And I have dos, let's say I have un de chien and un chien.